This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
All right, let's open our Bibles up to 2 Timothy tonight. Now, many of you remember the message that was preached about a month ago, and it was titled A Call to Action. And Brother Josh actually gave it that title, and I believe it was a great title. It was intended to be an introduction to the series on this Wednesday night that we are starting again tonight. And we took a little sabbatical on it for about 4 weeks. And we went over the other sermons. Then we had a candlelight service and so on and so on. And so tonight we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up with what is part one. There is an introductory sermon to this. If you did not hear that sermon, you can go to our website. You can download it from there. I believe most of you guys were here for the most part. Otherwise, you can download it from the site, and it's called A Call to Action. And so let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and we're going to look tonight in this first part of the servant of the Lord after our introduction sermon from a couple weeks back. And when you get to 2 Timothy 2, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and the Bible says there in verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, tonight for the opportunity you've given us to be in the house of God. Father, I don't take it lightly. I don't look at it, Lord, as a burden, but I look at it as a blessing to be able to stand in this pulpit, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for my family and for the church families here. We do lift up all the prayers for those that are traveling for health needs, dear God. And you know their needs, Lord God, tonight. Know and trust that you'll answer them according to thy will and thy pleasure. But Lord, we ask you now to be with us, Lord, for a little bit of time tonight. Bless your words and bless your messenger this evening, dear God, that we may preach the word in the way you've intended it, that we may learn about the servant of the Lord, and that we most importantly would apply it in our life when we leave here tonight. Dear God, let us not learn something and not apply it in our life. Let us change, dear God, no matter who we may be, let us change our life to where it may suit you and please you better. In Christ's most excellent name, we ask these things tonight. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. You know, that Bible says right there in verse 26, and this was not really a part of the sermon, but I just thought about it as I was reading it. It says that, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." And if you read up in verse 25, it says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." And that's the context of verse 26. The servant of the Lord, and we'll get into this in weeks to come, but I just want to throw this out there to you this evening. In weeks to come, we'll see this, but in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Friend, do you know tonight that there is a slew of people, there is a society of souls this evening that simply oppose themselves in this life, either by not knowing Christ, they oppose themselves by living in a state of sin, or by rejecting the Word of God. There are those tonight that even oppose themselves knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Amen. When you know to do the right thing and you willfully decide not to do the right thing, friend, you're opposing yourself. The servant of the Lord needs to be someone, whereas the Bible says that he must not strive, he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, must be patient, amen, and in meekness instructing those that oppose himself. I had an employee that made a statement to another employee at the office here, I guess it was this week sometime. They were in deep conversation, and he made this statement. He said, "You know what I'm doing this year?" He said, "I'm thinking twice on everything that I say. Before I say anything at all, I'm going to think of what effect it will have on those that are around." And I said, "Well, that sounds good. That's a blessing." I said, "What made him think about that?" He said he was at home one night. He was praying. He was sitting there talking about this in his mind, going back and forth. And this is what he's came up with. He said, "One day, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have to give an answer for every word that comes out of my mouth." The Bible tells us that a man will give an answer for every idle word said under heaven. Amen. Everything that we say that has an effect on someone else, be it good or be it bad, be it negative or be it positive, be it uplifting or tearing down, everything that comes out of our mouth has an effect on those that are around us. The servant of the Lord needs to be someone who in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. Why? Peradventure that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now, I don't know about you, But I'll tell you this. I've thought often about that statement that he said. I just found this out today. I've thought about that, and I hope and pray tonight as we go into this message that you may think about that as the servant of the Lord in this world today, in the society that we live, that everything, every statement that you make, be it to a friend, family, or foe, everything that you say has a cause and has an effect on other people's lives, and you will give an answer to what you say. As a servant, we need to be willing tonight to think long and hard before we say something, lest we have a negative effect, and stand before God Almighty one night, the Creator of all things, that He created for His goodwill and for His pleasure, and give an answer for that idle word. So we've heard in the introduction about serving in the will of God. We've heard about serving God in His will. As a matter of fact, tonight, we know that there are some that serve outside of the will of God. But I want you to understand that a servant this evening, friend, is a designated individual with a designed occupation, each one with a different description. Now, if you didn't get that, I'll say it again. A servant is a designated individual with a designed occupation, each one with a different description. The word servant literally means slave, friend. It be it involuntary or be it voluntary, subject or subservient to someone that owns you. You are a slave. It means to be bond. And I know that we're set free in Christ. I understand that. And the preacher gets in the pulpit and he starts tapping on our American freedoms today. And I'm convinced today in America that we don't understand. I don't think we understand 1% of the freedoms that we actually have in this country. And we'll never understand those things until we get outside of our country and we see the freedoms that everybody else does not have. Amen? You can't do the things in other countries that we can do here. In many countries, you can't have a night like we have tonight. In some countries where it's a free country, it's considered free to religious, against, you know, not religious persecution, but it's considered free for religious authorities, and that's fine. But some countries, friend, the taxes and the prices and the cost of a building, per se, are so skyrocketing that they can't have a church. They can't have places. They have to meet in city parks, and they have to meet in apartments. And then, I mean, some countries have freedom, per se, but nothing near like we have in America this evening, friend. Listen, I understand John 8:36. I understand it clearly. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I'm not talking about the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. I'm not emphasizing that tonight as telling you that you're a servant, that you are a slave. But, beloved, when you got saved and born again, your freedom is bound to assume two paths. One of two paths. It is bound to either become the good and faithful servant, or it is bound to become the wicked and slothful servant. But one way or another, when you got saved and born again, you became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When you signed the dotted line with the blood of Christ, when you got born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were thus transferred from being a servant of the devil, a servant of the flesh, a servant of self, and a servant of sin to a servant of the Savior. That is what happened that night. But the determining factor will be as to whether or not you are a good and faithful servant or a wicked and slothful servant. Hold your Bible there in 2 Timothy. Flip with me over to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, and get this picture with me tonight. I want you to see tonight in our hearts and our minds as we get into this first part of the servant of the Lord. And what we are looking at tonight is those first two words, or those two words there, the servant. But in Romans chapter 6 over there, the distinguishing factor between us tonight is whether or not we're going to serve right or if we're going to serve light. Are you going to serve right or are you going to serve light in the ministry? The choice is yours. Romans 6:19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Friend, freedom or liberty that we know today has been given. It's not simply an excuse to be lazy. The freedom and the liberty that we've been given in Christ today, it should motivate us to be more apt to work for Him. It's not an excuse to be lazy. But friend, our freedom is found in the bondship as a bondservant to our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said a multitude of times. Ephesians 3:1, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." 2 Timothy 1:8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner." Paul didn't say, "I was a Roman prisoner." He said, "I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ." Philemon chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Philemon, verse 9, "Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So how can the servant of the Lord avoid being saved but singed at the judgment seat of Christ? What designated description does the servant of the Lord have in this life, in this world, that we would see to it that we would serve Him with zeal, with energy, with excitement, with enthusiasm, amen, that we would diligently work toward the description that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us as His bondslave, as His servant. Number one, by simple connotation, a servant is one that serves. Amen. A servant is one that serves. You can say, "Preacher, that's not too deep. That sounds quite obvious." Well, I'm not a very deep person. It is quite obvious. Amen. You say, "Well, that sounds like that's common sense." Well, let me tell you this. In my 40 years of living, I found one thing. Common sense is not so common. Can I get an amen on that point right there? Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. If you can get there real quick, I want you to see this, because we're looking tonight at the servant of the Lord. It is a designated description from the Lord as the owner and the ruler of our souls and our heart. Moses was referred to as the servant of the Lord. Deuteronomy 34, the very last chapter, and in verse 5. Deuteronomy 34 and in verse 5, the Bible says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord." Now here's the deal. Moses was referred to as the servant of the Lord. He had a designated description from the Lord as the deliverer of Israel. Notice how Paul opened up his letter to Titus and how James opened up his letter to the 12 tribes. Paul says, Paul, a servant of God. James said, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the description that Christians are given. We don't earn being a servant. It is something that is given. But you're either a good and faithful servant, a friend, you're either a wicked and slothful servant. One of the two. You can't straddle the fence. You can't have both ways. You can't say, "I'm going to be a servant of the Lord Sunday through Wednesday, and then Thursday through Saturday, I'm going to be a wicked." You're either wicked and slothful, or you're either a good and faithful. So the servant of the Lord, number one, he serves, or she serves, okay? Secondly, the good and faithful servant serves the Lord Jesus Christ with singleness of heart. With singleness of heart. Turn back in your Bibles there in the New Testament, and turn with me to Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3, the servant of the Lord serves the Lord Jesus Christ. He serves his master, but he also serves with singleness of heart. Watch what the Bible says here in Colossians in chapter 3, toward the very end of the chapter. Colossians 3 and in verse 22. The Bible says in verse 22 of the third chapter of the book of Colossians, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart," watch this, "fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." A servant, my friend, is loyal. A servant is obedient. They are dedicated in their designated description. Moses was dedicated as the deliverer of Israel. Jesus Christ was dedicated as the deliverer of the world. The Apostle Paul was dedicated in delivering the gospel unto the Gentiles. He magnified his office as being the minister unto the Gentiles. He received the mystery of the church. Nobody saw that both Jew and Gentile would come under one spirit, there, one baptism, one salvation, one gift. No one saw them until it was given by revelation to the Apostle Paul, just a couple years after he was saved, or maybe not even that long. He received his ministry and spent that time in Arabia and spent that time in Damascus and went back up to Jerusalem knowing what his ministry was, knowing that God would save both Jew and Gentile in the same way. Throughout all of these men's work and throughout their ministry, and friend, they can't be separated. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, he sent who into his field? Laborers. The ministry of God is a work of God. It is a labor, bless the Lord. I think that's why it's so important for young people to get involved in the ministry of God today, working while their bodies can still get out there and work. Amen? Still get out there and do laborious jobs and work for the Lord Jesus Christ in his field. Because there's going to come a day that there's going to be a pew filled full of regrets, wishing that they had the physical capabilities and the physical abilities and the physical strength to do the things that their mind and their heart so desires to do tonight. And that, I mean, and everybody has their place in the body of Christ. There's people that can't work physically, but they can mentally and emotionally. They can pray and their prayer warriors and praise God for that. But I don't want to be someone who is filled in a pew of regret, sitting in a church wishing I would have done something in my 20s, 30s, and 40s should the Lord tarry and I'd be in my 80s or my 90s. Amen and amen and amen. I mean, I respect men like Lee Robertson. Lived up into his 90s and still preached the Word of God. I mean, to the day he died. There was men that George Whitfield didn't live to be an old man. Died at 55 years old. Was diagnosed with asthma at the age of 40. And preached the same way for the next 15 years after being diagnosed. And he would sit down in the chair after preaching a three-hour sermon in those open-air meetings. And he'd preach that meeting and he would cough up blood. That man preached 2 times a day, 5 days a week, 3-hour sermons each time. And he coughed up blood. His dying words as he looked out the window after he finished preaching to a mob of 200 people that followed him to the bed and breakfast he stayed. He preached until the candle went out. He laid down in his bed. And an hour later, he got up and he went to the window. He said, Lord, I live to preach for you, but I die to be with you. And he gave up the ghost and went home to be with heaven. Friend, I'm telling you, don't sit in a pew of regret, having not served God in the manner that he would have you to serve him today. Singleness of heart is the one attribute that is lost amongst so many proclaimed Christians today. People jump from churches to churches, from jobs to jobs, like they're playing hopscotch. One of the worst things that you can ever have is a resume when you go to get a job and it's got 14 or 15 different employments and you've only been working for 18 years. I mean, my soul. There's something wrong there. I'm just, people do that today, and that's why people jump from here, jump from there. They're not dedicated in the designated description. And friend, therefore, they're undependable. They're not dependable people for God. Think about it. When people think of you, what do they think about? Do they think of dependability or do they think about possibility? Y'all know what I mean by that. Maybe they'll do it. Well, we'll see. Your word should be your bond. Jesus Christ said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. It's essential for the servant of the Lord to have singleness of heart in serving God. Without it, friend, we will never become that good and faithful servant that we are so inclined and so moved by the Holy Spirit of God to be. Now, the servant of the Lord must serve. I think that right there, I think that goes without saying. But a servant of the Lord should serve. A servant of the Lord not should only serve, but he's to serve with singleness of heart. When a servant of God serves in singleness of heart, therefore he or she becomes established in the faith. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Just turn back one page. Colossians in chapter 2 and in verse 6. The Bible tells me, Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6. It says, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Watch this. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as he hath been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The servant of the Lord must be rooted and grounded, unmovable, friend. Oh, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The psalmist said, establish thy words unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Friend, the servant of the Lord needs to be established in the Word of God. If he's established in the Word of God, he can serve the Lord with singleness of heart. And that means your own personal agenda and your own personal desires and your own personal aspects of what you would like things to look like and be have to be far removed. And you're established in this Word right here. Friend, I know for those in here, I don't know how many people finished the reading plan of last year. I know a couple that have, and congratulations to you. Congratulations to finishing. I think if you read through our calendar, our reading plan in our calendar here in the church, you'll read through the Old Testament once in a year and the New Testament twice. Amen. And congratulations to those of you that have done that this year or last year. What a blessing that is. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that we read some things in the Bible that we get that little twitch like, oh man, that hurts. Man, I really just wish I wouldn't have read that today. You know? Kind of like when you're driving down the road and you're speeding. I know none of y'all do that, but you're speeding just a little bit and all of a sudden you see a police officer parked on the side of the road, maybe in Ridgetop. Amen. You know the good thing about seeing two police officers in Ridgetop when you first get there? You know they're nothing on the other side. Amen. There's none there. There's only two up there. Amen. I wouldn't bank on that now. But anyway, when you see that police officer and you see him and you're going a little bit fast, what do? You start shaking a little bit. You go, oh, and you get that little twitch. I do. That's what I do when I'm speeding every so often. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. We read some things in the Word of God, and when we read it, man, it just kind of gets us in the rib. It kind of makes us twitch a little bit. It's like, man, I could have done without reading that today because it's going to motivate me to have to change something in my life. Friend, when you're established and you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Do you know what happens? Those servants of the Lord that are doing a good work for God and they're steadfast and they love the Lord and they preach and they pass tracts out and they do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden they get a hold of somebody else's teaching and somebody else's writing. And they begin to lean over there toward that man's teaching, that man's writing. Amen. And they start to take his teaching and his writing over the Word. They're not a good and faithful servant. Because if you're not establishing this Word, you can't serve Him with singleness of heart, and you can't serve Him the way He's intended you to serve Him. Does everybody understand that here tonight? One thing that Pastor Ellis taught us was the Word of God. Pastor Ellis is one of those, back in his day, he was that old preacher teacher. You never left our church without having learned the Word of God. And typically had your toes stepped on. He was a fire-breathing preacher back in the day, but he taught us the Word of God. That's one of the detriments right now with many of those that were in our church in back in Florida before Pastor Ellis' health went south and he had to move to Louisiana, is that people now are still wandering around Southwest Florida looking for another Jim Ellis, and he's not going to be there. He gave us the Word of God, the foundation, and I'm telling you tonight, there's never been a man, there's never been a teaching, there's never been a doctrine that has moved me away from this AV 1611, away from this Bible, because the foundation was rooted and grounded in my heart. No matter what came into my life, no matter what happened, no matter what teaching, we were rooted and grounded in this Bible. Amen. And that's what the servant of the Lord, you must be rooted and grounded so that you can serve with singleness of heart, established in the faith, friend. That is what the servant of the Lord must do. Listen to these handful of verses I want to give you just real quick. And if you're taking notes, you can write them down and look at them. And I don't have an outline up top on the screen tonight. But the Bible says in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he that which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. James 5:8, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And lastly, 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, watch this, settle you. When the servant of the Lord is established, churches will finally stop having revolving doors. And churches will not lose people as quick as they gain people. People come to church today. They look for something. They look for something that is wrong in the church. They look at something they disagree with. They sit at home. They wonder why their job is not going well. And their marriage is failing. And their children are out of the will. They wonder all of these things. And it's all because they're not established, strengthened, settled. It's Because they're not serving the way God would have them to do. Are you settled on the Word of God? Can anybody knock on your door tomorrow and show you something in your AV that would shake you up a little bit? Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand and say yay or nay. Now, those of you who have been in this church for a lengthy period of time, you should be able to say without any hesitation, absolutely not. This church has never put a man before the Word of God. We've never put a singing before the Word of God. We've never put an event before the Word of God. We've always had the Word of God as the central theme in New Testament Baptist Church. Amen? And you should have learned something here. So I'm saying that to say this. You need to be established in the Word. Established. Hands down. Even when you're wrong, even when I'm wrong, established in order to serve with singleness of heart. Lastly, tonight, and then we're done. When the servant of the Lord serves with singleness of heart, being established in the faith, the servant has no problem submitting. They have no problems being submitted. Who do you need to be submitted to? You need to be submitted to God. James chapter 4 and verse 7. We can look over there just real quick. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I don't know, but is there an if in that verse right there? It's not, is it? It doesn't say, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he may flee from you. It says he will. Y'all believe that tonight? Say amen. You believe it? I believe that tonight. The Lord, we were never, the New Testament church was never told, not one Christian was ever told to lay hands on anybody and cast the devil out. Not one time. We were never told to do physical battle with the devil. The Bible tells us that devils, as in demons, some of these come not out, but by prayer and fasting. Supplications unto God. Pray those devils out of somebody. We weren't told to lay hands on nobody. Amen. Secondly, in battling the devil himself, the Bible simply tells us to resist him. Resist him. Friend, we're not a match for the devil. On our best day, we'll never be a match for Satan himself. Not one time. The Archangel Michael, he won't even rebuke him to his face, but he rebukes him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm telling you, we're no match for him. And if you think that you get all the hocus pocus type of battles with him, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose miserably. But you got one army, you got one weapon in your warfare. And the Bible tells us just to resist him. And when things contrary to Scripture and contrary to this and contrary to that, contrary to the doctrine that you've received and the teaching of the Holy Word of God, when that comes into your mind and comes into your heart, you think to do wrong, you think not to do good, when you think those things, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You want to pass a track out and someone says, don't give that guy a track. That ain't God telling you not to give him a track. That's the devil trying to get you not. Resist the devil and give it to him anyway. We are to submit unto God. Friend, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, we are to submit to government and their laws. And beloved, we are to submit to that which was given to the churches. The Bible says that, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, guys, I have never hyperly preached pastoral authority. I'm not going to start it tonight. But the Scripture is the Scripture. Hebrews 13:17 simply just tells us, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls that they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Now, friend, that's true. Now, and I'm going to tell you what, it should be a problem for a pastor to get up and have to preach that. Amen? It should be. A pastor shouldn't get up and say, he just shouldn't get up and glorify in that and say, you need to, it's not me, it's not the person, it's the position, but it's submitting unto God, amen. That's who comes first. In obedience to God himself and him alone. It's not what the pastor does, but it's what God has done for us. Have you ever noticed some Christians who seem to just, they just don't have a hold on their Christianity. They don't have a hold on what they should be doing for the Lord. And it seems as if they're always having conflicts and contentions and complications. It just seems that they complain about everything. And this is a real, friend, listen, this is a lack of submission. Submission doesn't mean that you're a mindless body blindly following a leader. That's idolatry, man. But submission occurs when you may or may not necessarily agree with what is being told, or what is being taught, or what is being, or the targeted trend, if you will, but you do it anyway. Because the Word says so. Not because the preacher says so. Not because mom and daddy said so. Not because aunt and uncle said so. Because the Word of God says so. And friend, I'm here to say this tonight. The pastors in this, and this is not about me, but the pastors in the local New Testament churches today, they are to watch out for the souls of those that are there. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just run people down, but I'm so sick of seeing effeminate little pastors. I'm so tired of seeing men who want to get up and their shirts untucked and their flip-flops and their torn-out jeans. Listen, I'm not judging by the outward appearance. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just trying to say this to you tonight, that I'm tired of men that are calling themselves pastors and they're effeminate pastors. Just because this society says that a man has to be effeminate doesn't mean that he has to. Somebody say amen. You don't rule your hand, man. You don't rule your house with a closed fist. Friend, you rule it with an open hand and an open heart. People will serve the Lord when they know it's the Lord they're serving. People will serve God when they know it's what God wants them to do. And I'm here to say this, guys, and I'll be done. So often, many a times in our life, the majority of the issues that we all face, because guys, you know what? We all face, did y'all know we all face the same issues? We all have them. Every single one of us. If you were to write down in a 7-day period, a little journal of the conflicts and the issues that you face on a day-to-day basis, no matter your demographics and no matter the locale of where those issues you face are, the people may be different. The conversational piece may be different. The topic may be different. But I guarantee you this, it's all going to fall under the same categories. Because we are men and women, we're men, as the Bible says, men of like passion. There is nothing that you are going to go through that someone else somewhere in this planet hasn't already gone through. And so, friend, it takes submission unto our Lord and our Savior in order to serve Him as a good and faithful servant. If you're going to be the servant, as we look at this tonight, the servant of the Lord, number one, the servant must serve. A servant was not created to sit. Amen? He must serve. But if he's going to serve, he must serve with singleness of heart, having his heart and his mind focused on the one that has sent him. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. That's why it's called labor. That's why it's called work. Serving him with singleness of heart. Serving him established in the faith, unmovable, rooted and grounded in that word right there. But it's going to take submission, guys. It's going to take us being submitted to the cause of Christ. It's going to take us being submitted unto the God that created everything that is here. It's going to take us being submitted, even at times when we don't want to the laws of this land, because there is no law, there is no authority that is given but that which is given of God. And as long as the laws of the land don't counteract that word right there, you must obey them. And lastly, we need to be submissive or submitted to that which was given. The apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists, all of those things. And it's not so much to please that man, but it's to please God. And that which is taught, guys, one form of submission, is you've heard what has been preached tonight. And some of you may have your doubts. Some of you may say, well, I just don't see it that way. Well, if you don't see it that way, there's nothing wrong with that. You're not in sin. You're not doing anything wrong because you don't necessarily agree with what I said tonight. But if you do it anyway, because it's in that book, guess what? The Lord will bless you for it. And that, my friend, is the good and faithful servant of the Lord. Will you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eyes closed.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.